483.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of shine? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have anchor that keeps us sure, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safe we moor till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secure by the Savior's hand. And the cables fast round his heart to bind can't defy the blast through strength divine. We have anchor that keeps us sure, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. His firm behold in the straits of fear, when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark o'erflow. We have anchor that keeps us sure, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore. With the storms all past forevermore, we have anchor that keeps us sure, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
For our next song, turn to page 307.
370.
There's a city of light made of stars, we are told, where they hold not sorrow or care. And the gates are of pearl, and the streets are of gold, and the
Good evening as well. Like everybody else, I was spoken to by the messages last weekend very much, and especially Friday evenings about who is God and understanding Him. And one of the things that really spoke to me, and I know it's true, Ron said if most of our problems would be solved if we'd understand more of who God is. And know in my own life, and I see this in other people's lives as well, but we have all these questions, what our purpose is and what's going to be our legacy, what are people going to think of us? And we think about ourselves, what am I good at? What do I want my life to look like? Who am I? What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? What does the authentic mean? Am I living authentically? And do others understand me? And a lot of, I should say, my own personal testimony, way too much of my time has been spent on those questions. And they're good questions to ask. I'm not saying that if you don't ever ask these questions, we often tend to see those people as unaware or not self-aware at all, and that doesn't lead to a very balanced life. But a lot of well-meaning Christians ask these questions. Tons of books on this stuff. Bookshelves are filled with these answers to these questions. And when it comes down to it, in short, I want my life to matter, and we all want our lives to matter. We desperately want our lives to matter. And we want to know that we're making a good difference in the world around us. But and the problem with all these questions is it centers around me. And I, for myself, should be much more focused on God. And that's one of the areas I was very convicted in last weekend. So Ron called us to seek after God and find Him. And so that's what I want to try to do more of. I did this a while it was quite a while ago. I listened to the book of Job, and then I started again this week. He's a great study, I think, on a man that actually, the Bible, in Job, it says that he was perfect, he was upright, feared God, and he shunned evil. Now, who wouldn't want that to be said about them? I would love for that to be said about me, but doesn't get hardly any better than that. So he was a great man. We can assume that he had a really great relationship with God and that he knew who God was. But if you read the book of Job, you'll realize that he probably had his circumstances, and none of us can help this. We all have the same problem. The circumstances that we face dictate our view of God in a lot of ways. And so Job had a God who was just and who was and who rewarded those who did right. And when all these calamities came upon him, suddenly I don't think if you read Job anyways, it doesn't seem like he didn't know who this God was all of a sudden. Like, who is this God that brought all these calamities upon me, or allowed all these calamities to happen to me, and I'm a good, upright, perfect person? And he had reason to think that. I mean, he had reason to struggle with that. He thought he had God figured out. But when you read through that, you realize that he actually kind of got fairly frustrated with his understanding of God. And then his friends came about, and they were going to correct his view of God. And then for the part I'd like to read tonight is at the end of Job. God rebukes, I believe he's just talking to Job and his friends. And he asks Job a whole bunch of questions, and he doesn't really tell Job, I mean, I don't know, he, it's just, it's a whole list of questions, question after question, to make Job probably feel about this small. Like, Job was asking questions about who is this kind of God that would do something like this to me? And, but in the questions that God was asking Job, I think he was revealing some of himself. Job 40, I'll read verses 1 to 7. It says, this was after Job was done speaking. Well, actually, this God was actually asked a whole list of questions here. And then, we'll start at verse 1 here. So, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no farther. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And then he goes on and asks more questions. If we go a little bit farther after God's done speaking again, we'll go to verse 42, and we'll read 1 to 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was so that after, well, I'm going to hold off there a minute, but if you see, Job heard God, and he said he didn't only hear God, he actually saw God now. He saw who God was. And that one thing that tells me about Job, he was at least honest. He's actually a very honest person. And he was seeking God. He wanted to know who God was. And when God actually spoke to him, he said, I've heard and I've seen. And he repented. He was humbled and repented. And he said, I am nothing. And he realized who God was. Then I'd like to read, so we'll continue on here. Listen to what God says to Job and to Job's friends. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, a Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I used to think that that God spoke to these people, to Job's friends, because of something they said to him. Maybe that just shows how dim I was. But through when they were talking to Job and rebuking Job, I thought God was rebuking them for that. But I don't actually think so, and we don't know for sure. But if you stop and think about it, sometimes Job's friends get kind of a bad rap a little bit for who they were, and I don't think they don't deserve that at all. Because if you read the first part of Job, they came to Job in his distress. So that was the first thing. They weren't just friends, good weather friends. They didn't run and leave. They came to him. And it says that they saw him from a long distance, so they knew him fairly well, and they saw he wasn't the same person they knew. And it says they tore their clothes and sprinkled dust on themselves, and they wept loudly for him. And so that's a good friend. But then not only that, is they sat in silence commiserating with Job for 7 days and 7 nights. You could take a whole lesson out of this from friendship, I think. But that's good friends. I couldn't do that. And that took patience and love, and so Job, obviously these were really, really good people, I think. And they didn't speak until Job did. And they left Job have the first word. And if you actually listen to what they say, it's really interesting. They had some very, very wise things to say. Job was trying to hash out who God actually was. And they were actually bringing kind of a balance to that. And they actually had some very wise things to say about God. I think, and the Bible doesn't say this directly, so I don't know. But I think that, so this is, and this is where I want to go with this tonight. But I think they probably heard the same thing. God was speaking to Job, and I think they probably heard. And Job got a glimpse of who God was, and I think his friends probably did too. The difference is Job repented and was humbled and said, I am nothing. And he begged for God's forgiveness. And it doesn't say that his friends did. And so Job had to offer sacrifice for his friends. So this is what I'd like to leave you guys with. But if we are committed, if I'm committed to seeking God and finding him and learning more of his nature, what are we going to do, or what am I going to do when I find more of him? Because the Bible says that if we seek him, it says over and over that if we seek him, we will find him. It says that that's one very clear thing about God. He says if he makes that known for sure, that if we actually seek him, diligently seek him, we're going to find him. So when we do find him, when I do find him, when we find more of him, which is hopefully what we all want to do, will it result in humility and repentance in my life? Or is it going to be as one of Job's friends, where maybe they didn't like exactly what they saw, and they were silent, and God wasn't pleased with them? So let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you that we can be gathered here together this evening. Thank you that we can praise you. And thank you that you promise that if we seek you, you'll be found. And thank you that you you want to be found, and that your mercy extends to all of us, and that you meet us where we are, and you don't leave us wandering. And I pray your presence to be with us the rest of this service, and you would be glorified, and we can be encouraged. Praise all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to sing number 368 in the church hymnal. Okay, the children can come up and stand up front here, and Juliana will lead them in some songs.
Turn to page 195 in our Christian hymnal.
Judgment will begin.
Turn to page 146.
Was inspired by this morning when Steve was talking about neither do I condemn thee, I just wanted to sing along. So we're going to sing that tonight. And then our second song, recently we got to fly, and it was sunset, and we were flying from east to west, and so it was sunset for a whole hour. And that song came to my mind, Some Sweet Day, and it's one of my mom's songs. I'm going to sing that as well.
Scribes came and Pharisees anxious to
Thank you, ladies, very much. That was beautiful. Some reason I think that song is like almost, when I hear somebody talking about it, it's almost like our song. I don't know why. I never hardly heard it. I don't think I've heard it anywhere else, and I always envision about that group of ladies up here singing them, and it's changed different ladies over the years, but that's what it's a beautiful song. Okay, so after this next song, we'll have an impromptu men's course, and Andy is going to lead that, so all of you men that would like to participate, come up after this song. And I'd like to know, I think let's try singing I'll Fly Away. And it's Some Glad Morning, and then what's the next one? Is it Like a Bird? What's that?
When the Shadows.
And then what's the last one? Just a few more? Yes, okay. All right, let's stand.
Just a few more. Here is a bed.
Songs this evening, familiar songs. One, the first one is Well With My Soul. It speaks of facing some serious things in life and bad things, and coming through trusting God and allowing Him to take control. Second song is a song about heaven, on that resurrection morning that we will rise with Him.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught,
422 in your Christian hymnal. And after this song, we're going to have a chorus come up.
Four hundred twenty-two. Peace, thank you. all hail the power of Jesus.
We